Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned in to Paranormal Horizons, only on 106.5 KITC FM and Blog Talk Radio. Join your hosts, Jason Ophir and Pat Rice, as we delve into the world of the paranormal. The world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, and even Bigfoot.
Absolutely. Welcome to the world of the paranormal. Paranormal Horizons. I'm your host this evening, Pat Rice, and my co-host, Jason Ophir.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, good, good. We've got another episode. Jason, I like saying that word episode. You know, every week we broadcast every Tuesday, or in some cases on Saturdays, another hour, you know, just kind of talking about the paranormal and, you know, unusual things, things that don't really have a true scientific explanation. And, yeah, it's just kind of fun to talk with you, Jason, and our guests. And before, she's not on the line yet, but our guest this evening is Cheryl Ann. And Jason, I think you've had the opportunity to talk with her before on another program that you were involved in. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think I've talked to her more than one time. Just a really nice lady. She's a psychic. Actually, she had sent me a Christmas card last Christmas, which was nice. So just a really sweet lady, and excited to get her on the show to learn a little bit more about her abilities. And I know she's got some interesting stories to talk about.
Yeah, she does. I had interviewed her prior when I did the Super Unknown show with Dave Harms on KITC-FM. And what I really enjoy about Cheryl is she's so easy to talk to. Do you know what I mean? You get, even though it's over the phone and we're not having a face-to-face, I always really feel a connection with her. And so I'm looking forward to talking with her. And and everybody out there, if you want to go into the chat room here on Blog Talk, we've got that up. And that's always a venue to ask questions for the guest, give your opinion, whatever. And we will have her on here in a few minutes, here on Paranormal Horizons, where we broadcast on Blog Talk Radio and KITC-FM. So, Jason, as I always ask you, because you are the one that keeps up with the news, do you have anything kind of interesting to talk about that's happening in the news world and the paranormal this evening?
Well, I don't have news, but I do have an interesting story.
Okay, a story. That's acceptable.
Well, if you remember, I don't know how many shows it was ago. Now, did you know we're getting close to our 40th episode of Paranormal Horizons? Did you know that?
No, but
yep.
I mean, it kind of makes sense considering it was, you know, last year around this time when you and I started talking about this show. So, gosh, that's amazing.
Yep. So, yeah, I did find a story, and it's an interesting story, kind of historic. And basically the story goes as, you know, we've all heard stories of presidential ghosts, and I think you were talking about it a few shows ago. I don't remember
who
you had on as a guest. You remember that?
Yeah, I do remember. I do remember talking about ghosts or hauntings in the White House.
Now, I don't recall exactly, but when you were talking about the haunted White House, did you mention a cat?
No.
Okay, good.
You mean like a cat, like the animal?
Like a ghost cat.
No.
Yes.
Do tell.
Okay. There is a, as we talked about on that previous show about the White House being haunted and previous presidents being spotted in there, and also some other places around the White House are haunted as well, like the Capitol. But there is one ghost known to be seen in a couple places, which whenever this ghost is seen, it heralds a national disaster. The ghost is a black cat, and it's seen in the basement of the White House and also the Capitol. It's reported to appear sometimes as a kitten. Oh, I love kittens. If anybody knows me on Facebook, I'm like one of these crazy cat ladies, but I'm a guy, so I'm a
I know, that's why I love you. Yeah.
But anyway, so this thing appears as a kitten. That's innocuous enough. But as the person draws closer to this black kitten, it grows into an angry tiger-like animal with glowing eyes. Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
That sounds evil.
Yeah. The demon cat was seen before the stock market crash of 1929 and also the assassination of John Kennedy. Interestingly, the story origins may lie in the fact that the Capitol was once infested with rats. I kind of find this funny because I think it still is.
Probably.
I'm not going to get all political on you or anything. But apparently the Capitol, I imagine this was back in the day. I didn't see any information pertaining to the time when there was a rat problem at the Capitol. But it was so bad there that the cats had to be released to control the population. I imagine it was in the older days. So the story might have some roots in that, but apparently there is a demon cat at the White House and also the Capitol. So if anybody sees that, you might just want to stay indoors.
Well, and it sounds like, Jason, so the demon cat only shows itself for certain events. Is that kind of what I'm getting out of what you're saying?
Yeah, if you see the demon cat, then something bad is going to happen to the nation. It's also commonly seen, I did leave out one little blurb of information, it's also commonly seen whenever presidents change.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
So if a president is changing, is leaving office, and you see it, probably no big deal. But if a president isn't leaving office and you see the demon cat strolling in the basement of the White House, if you had access to the basement of the White House, you definitely just want to stay home because something really bad is going to happen to the nation.
Yeah, well, and to your facts that you were stating earlier that it was seen before, you know, Kennedy was killed, that's pretty significant because, you know, that was a moment in time. I don't know, Jason, if you were, I know, you know, our age difference is a little different. So I was in third grade when that happened. I don't think you were alive yet, but
I believe I wasn't even a thought then.
Yeah. You weren't even around yet, but I remember it as a real, you know, vivid day in my life as things like that, you know, historic moments like that always kind of stay in your brain. Like, you know, I can remember exactly where I was and exactly what I was doing and so forth. So that's interesting about the demon. And maybe it's not a demon cat. Maybe it's just a warning cat.
Yeah. It could be just a warning cat with glowing eyes. I don't know. But you're talking about events that happen in our childhood that, you know, we always remember where we are or were. And event like that significant to me when I was younger was when the Challenger exploded. I remember where I was.
Where were you?
I was at home.
Oh, okay. I remember I was at work, and somebody had a TV. But, yeah, I know. But like you said, it's another event that just kind of stays in your mind that even though you weren't really a part of it, you were kind of a part of it because it happened and all of that. But, well, hey, everybody out there, thank you for joining in this evening to Paranormal Horizons with myself, Pat Rice and Jason Ophir. We're going to be with you until 8 o'clock Pacific time. And just in a couple of minutes, we're going to have our great guest, Cheryl Ann, and we're going to be able to talk with her about all kinds of interesting things. About a half an hour or kind of halfway point, we'll probably take a commercial break. We have lots of friends of Paranormal Horizons, and Jason graciously creates commercials. So we're going to have a feature commercial this evening, and also you can tune in to this show on KITCFM.com on Saturdays at 10 o'clock in the evening Pacific time. All right, Jason, anything else before I get Cheryl on the line?
Nope. I was supposed to have a new commercial done, and I've been so busy with school, so we will revert back to one of our previous ones for this show,
yeah.
And I'll make sure to have it up for next week.
Right, we have lots of commercials. And, hey, everybody, just to give a little bit of background on Cheryl Ann, and we're going to get into more details about her background, but she does have some amazing psychic abilities. And, you know, she's a mother. She's a poet. You know, psychics, Jason, I think sometimes we forget to understand they really are just normal people, too. But, you know, that have families and they have jobs and things like that, but they have these abilities that we can't necessarily explain, but they have them. And that's why we like to talk with them here on Paranormal Horizons. So it's really, just really a pleasure to have Cheryl on our show. Cheryl, how are you this evening?
I am doing fabulous, and I hope both you guys are doing just as fabulous as I am.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, and Cheryl, we were chatting earlier in the show. I know that you've talked with Jason before in a prior show, and I've had the pleasure of talking with you on Super Unknown, and just always a pleasure to talk with you because you're so easy to talk to, and you've got these amazing abilities, but I just feel like you're so down to earth, and I want to express that to the listeners. So now, Cheryl, we describe you as a psychic. Is that correct? I mean, or
yes,
are
that
you?
Is so.
Okay, because I know we've got psychic, we've got clairvoyant,
yep.
We've got, you know, medium. These are all descriptions of, you know, what someone like you can do, but kind of tell us where do you fit into that? Where's your speciality?
Well, my speciality is being able to work with people that have had family members or friends that have passed over suddenly. And I believe my gift focuses most on helping people with closure. Being able to visit with the one that they have lost and being able to, you know, bring that closure from the other side is where I'm homegrown and most appreciative with the gift I have. You know, just being able to talk to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of bring the story that is not told at the time of death, things that are not, you know, said, you know, before someone dies or they can't, you know,
yeah.
Say goodbye. Well, you know, all those untold stories that the other side is waiting to convey to people, that's where I'm most gifted.
And, you know, Cheryl, that is such a great gift because sometimes you don't really feel that impact until you've lost someone. And I know that I have in my life, and you know, I don't, and I think that you have too. If I remember some of your past, that I think that you had a sibling that died. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And at a young age, kind of getting back into your gift at a young age, which must have kind of freaked you out, you actually predicted his death.
Yes, that is true.
Tell us about that. Do you mind talking about that?
Oh, heck no. I share that with every time I have I'm a guest speaker or during a gallery read, you know, you know, I don't mind talking about it. I share it because it's quite an interesting story. I was 11 years of age, and my mom worked in a motel here in Lincoln, Nebraska, and my mom raised basically a boot camp of kids. We were fatherless, and every summer she would take us and help. We would help, you know, to stay out of mischief. She would have us go with her to do motel maid work, and you know, of course, employed us kids to do the garbage and you know, kind of help out. And I had a little friend named Chris. I used to run around with at the motel when I would go to work with my mom. And she and I decided that playing Barbies, you know, on the walkway and at different areas of the motel got kind of boring. So we had a lady friend that was the laundry maid down in the basement. And we thought it would be really awesome to get inside the dumbwaiter. And for your listeners, if they're not aware of that term, a dumbwaiter is clearly a box that travels like an elevator from floor to floor where all the maids can retrieve their linens.
Right, and don't you pull it down with a rope? Isn't it kind of like a pulley system?
Well, this is all electric. Well, you push a button for a green button to go.
Oh, okay, cool.
So it's all electrical. So Chrissy and I decided we thought we were going to be awesome, you know, cold people, and we'd run down or go down in that thing and go surprise Viola, who was the laundry maid. Well, we climbed into this box, and Chrissy, of course, naturally got in first. She was kind of smaller than I. And she got in first and scooted to the box at the back of the box. And as I was getting ready to climb into the box, there was an octagon bar that is attached to the box on the top. And she, for some reason, thought it was okay to turn the dumbwaiter on for it to go. And I wasn't all the way in. And when I started to climb into the box, only my head went in, along with my right arm. And when the box just started to descend, the octagon bar caught my neck and encompassed my neck against the brick wall. And that's when I traveled. I died. And everybody always says, well, what was it like? And I say, well, you know what? It was the most peaceful time in my life that I can remember. You know, people describe it in all sorts of ways. You know, they describe it in all sorts of ways. But
you mean, so you actually, you were injured, and you were,
yes.
And you actually, and you were, you saw, you were technically dead, saw the other side, but obviously came back because we're,
Yes, ma'am. And in fact, the amount of time, I cannot tell you how long I was stuck in that. All I know is if she had not pushed the release button, I wouldn't be here today. It released me. I fell back. Woke up to, you know, a lot of skin tear on my back, bleeding. I knew that the second I came to, that I wasn't normal, per se. And I was taken to the hospital at 11 years of age. Of course, you don't know what to say to a doctor, right?
No, you don't.
You know,
yeah.
Somewhere to tell me where I went. But I withheld that information until the first vision of my brother's death.
Wow.
And
Those stories, you know, are amazing. The, sorry, I was a little bit distracted here for a minute. We had a little bit of an issue with chat, so I'm back now. But those stories are, you know, amazing. And I'm always interested to hear about these near-death experiences. Because I know for me personally, and probably with most people out there afraid to die, I would only imagine it would be terribly comforting to know that there is, you know, some sort of afterlife. For me personally, I'm not sure. But I don't want to have one in order to know that, though, you know.
Yeah. Well, for your listeners out there, with all my heart, in Christ I tell you now that there is an afterlife. I can prove it. I've been renowned in what I do. I'm thankful for my gift, and I believe I received it because I'm not the type of person to abuse it. I use it only to help bring the facts out about the afterlife. And anybody that's out there that knows me knows that I don't play around with this. This is a serious business. I don't take it lightly. I take it to the max as, you know, I only tolerate so much around me when it's going on. You know I got it for a reason, and it can be taken away just as quickly.
Well, you know, especially coming into that at such a young age, Cheryl, where, you know, you had to sort of, you know, process that and decipher it and all of that. But I want to jump around a little bit, Cheryl, because I know, you know, about your background and all of that, but I did kind of speaking about some of the things that you've done. You're also involved in a group called Paranormal Seekers of Iowa, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, Jason, are you familiar with that group? Have you talked to Cheryl about that before?
I think we have. I don't remember any details about it, but I'd like to learn more to refresh my memory about. Cause I don't remember if she was going on investigations or not.
Well, yeah. So, Cheryl, I wanted to, you know, kind of touch on that group a little bit because I know that you've done some amazing investigations with that group and some interesting things that have happened. So now, are you the founder of that group, or tell us about that?
Oh, heavens no. That credit goes to J.D. Campbell, who lives in Norwalk. He's the man. He is the owner and co-founder, and then he also works with his right-hand guy, Aaron, and Christina is also in our four-person group, including myself. To give you a little bit of background about how that came about is back in 2011, I just went to Farrar on a VIP ticket to see American Ghost Hunters and kind of work with them. And J.D. was introduced to me by a friend, and, you know, J.D. was completely hands down, total skeptic. He thought psychics were nuts.
Oh, really?
So, Oh, yeah. He just didn't believe in it. And his friend introduced me to him, and immediately I started reading J.D., and I talked a little bit, gave him some clues to things that no one else would know but him. And he said, oh, my gosh. And so we went ahead and did the investigation with all the other people that had signed up for this event. And while in the, this was the Farrar School at Farrar, Iowa. While there, you know, we all grouped up and kind of went into our own investigations after American Ghost Hunter, you know, did their presentation and stuff. And I went into the auditorium, and there was a lady named Lori and Kathy and some friends that I knew through, you know, talking with them before the show. And we all got in a group, and everybody was doing all this provoking and, you know, doing stuff that I wouldn't want done to me if I was on the other side to try to get that reaction. And I sat down
right.
and I prayed. I just prayed. I said, you know, they're going to, I said out loud, they're going to come through when, you know, everybody calms down and talks to them civilly. And while sitting there, a little girl named Jamie came up to, and I could see her clear as day. She walked up to Lori, and Lori got really cold, and she said, oh, my God, you know, something's touching me. And I said, yeah, her name is Jamie. She's got her arms wrapped around your, you know, up her shoulders. And she's like, I can feel that. And this was before I said anybody was even on her. And so I said to her, I said, Jamie's telling me to tell you to beware of the bead. And Lori's like, okay, kind of funny. And then she's like, I'm really allergic to bees. And I said, well, she's telling me in the next few days to beware of the bees. And so then JD happened to be watching all this and filming it. Well, then, you know, as things progressed, I said, you know what, these kids really want to talk. They want us to go into the kitchen. This is about the time they would be having snacks before bed. And I said, we need to go into the kitchen. And I got up because I knew what I was doing. I didn't expect anybody to follow me. No, hardly anybody knew me. But the whole, all the people in that room got up and followed me. JD was filming this the whole time. We get into the kitchen. And everybody's got K2 meters. They've got the ghost box going. You know, they've got every piece of equipment out there going. And I told JD, I said, you know, can you go over on that side, kind of move away, you know, and he went over to, like, mid-corner, and everybody kind of come around me, and then all of a sudden, I started talking to four children, and the evidence, the K2 meters were going off, not simultaneously, but all at different points of time. In other words, they were not at the same time as everybody else's. These meters were going wacko at different times. And as I was talking to these four kids, they were talking about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And so I said, well, you guys were obviously wanting your snack. And, I talked for them at great length. And that, by the way, that whole film is on Paranormal Seekers of Iowa's website. It was filmed.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
So
I'll have to check that out.
Filmed. And while standing there, you know, JD came out. We all got done with this investigation in that area, and we came out of the kitchen. And it was, you know, pretty late, and, you know, people were wanting to go home. And as we were coming out of the kitchen door, I turned around and I said, JD, Jamie is wanting to talk to you. And he went, and he turned, and he looked at me funny. He's like, me? I said, yeah, she wants to talk to you. And he said, okay. And I said, you need to get down to her level. And he looked at me kind of funny, and he did. And finally, get down on one knee, you know, and kind of crouch down. And the minute he did that, his whole right side of his body became instantly cold. He said, I believe she's to my right. And I said, yeah, she is. And I said, she's talking to me to tell you that she appreciates how well you take care of your kids. And she spoke to me, which I talked to JD about things that nobody else would have known about his kids. And it became so emotionally moving that the 15 people that were standing there watching this whole thing go down became very emotional. JD got very weepy. He said this was probably the most incredible experience he had ever had. And as we were walking out, you know, we had to say goodbye to the kids. We thanked them for, you know, coming through and thank them for being awesome, you know, kids. But the night ended, and that experience alone was probably the turning point as to when JD approached me later on, and we sat down and talked, and that's when I became a member of Paranormal Seekers of Iowa.
Wow.
I got a question. You know, we've talked to a lot of paranormal investigators, and one of the things that you always hear is that demons like to disguise themselves as children. I was wondering what your opinion was. Do you think that these dark entities exist? And how does somebody know if it's really the spirit of a child or, you know, something darker?
Well, let me just tell you. in the experiences that I've had in my lifetime, which is now, you know, I'm 54 and, you know, 11 years of age, the distinct way of knowing whether or not you are working with a demon or if you're working with a true godly spirit is by the scent of what's going on around you. The scent alone will tell you whether or not you've got a demonic presence.
What do you mean, the scent?
The scent.
You mean like a smell?
Well, like an actual smell, then.
Yeah. What I pick up is like a sulfur or a real rancid smell or a stinky smell. That tells me that I'm not working with something normal. This is totally abnormal.
And
not
how
only
rare
that,
is
when
that?
And when I see them, if they come to me with no eyes, we've got problems.
Yeah, that sounds scary.
But how
There's
rare
no
is that? I mean,
pockets, oh, heck no. We've got some issues.
How many times have you ran into, like, say you've communicated with X amount of children, like, percentage-wise, how common is running into one of those dark entities? Is it super rare, like people say, or is it every once in a while?
It's kind of rare, but believe you me, Jason, I don't know, since the last time I talked to you, if I talked to you about the exorcism that I did.
I vaguely recall something like that. It's been a long time.
Wow. Well, you know, whatever.
Let me just...
Cheryl, if we could
just
take a quick break.
I almost had trouble with that. What's that?
Let's go ahead and take a quick break, and then when we get back from our commercial break, we'll talk a little bit more about exorcisms here on Paranormal Horizons. Our very special guest this evening, Cheryl Ann, with myself, Pat Rice, and Jason Ophir. Jason, I'll turn it over to you for a great commercial of one of our friends of Paranormal Horizons.
Well, since we were just discussing the darker forces out there, I feel that this one is pertinent, so we'll go with this one.
The Order of Exorcists. Of Exorcists.
There is a lot of good in this world, but with good, you must have the duality of evil. There are dark forces out there. You might not see them or be able to sense them, but they are there, waiting to prey on your weaknesses. If you have a desire to help others in need that are dealing with these dark forces, you can check out the Order of Exorcists under the jurisdiction of Sacred Order of St. Michael the Archangel. The Order of Exorcists is looking for exorcist investigators. You will be trained to make first contact with the clients, conduct interviews and demonic investigations. Once that is completed, you will turn in an assessment for further action. If this sounds interesting to you, you can contact orderofexorcists.weebly.com for more detailed information.
All right. Welcome back to Paranormal Horizons here on blogtalkradio.com, KITCFM 106.5, KITCFM.com. I'm Pat Rice, Jason Ophir, also co-hosting the show, and our guest, Cheryl Ann. Before the break, we just kind of got into a little bit of a conversation about exorcisms. And just if you're just tuning in, Cheryl, you are a talented psychic. You're involved with Paranormal Seekers of Iowa. And my gosh, you've had some amazing experiences. I mean, real life experiences. So please go on, if you don't mind, about some of the exorcism activity that you've experienced.
Well, let me just start off with the one that was is ongoing at the Farrar. There's a lot of demonic issues at the Farrar. And unfortunately, those have been brought in by Ouija board experiences.
Now, where is that, though, Cheryl? Give us a look. Can you tell us?
That would be the schoolhouse at Farrar in Farrar, Iowa.
Okay.
It's been filmed also, filmed again. JD and I, and we had had an event, you know, we hold events there too, like October 4th, we're having a huge zombie prom.
What is this? Is it like an old hotel? Give us some background, since I don't know anything about this location.
The background on this was in the 50s. It was closed down. It was a school. The background on it was Jackie Carpenter, who was the very first person to drive by. Jim and Nancy Oliver, who are the owners, purchased the building to renovate it back to the originality of the school. And while living there, they experienced some odd stuff. So Jackie Carpenter happened to drive by one day, a friend of Nancy Oliver, and she noticed a little girl up in the third floor peering out at the window, went in and notified them, and, of course, they never found anybody. That's how it kicked off for the investigation piece.
Was it a Catholic school, Cheryl, or was it just like
a regular public school? Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I just was, you answered the question, what type of school it was.
Yeah. I've investigated Farrar now probably 14 times. It never does it not ever give you something to walk away with, either by a picture, experience, or whatever. The most horrific experience I received down in the boiler room, and I actually refer it to the broiler room, even though it's a boiler room, because the heat intensity down there and the energy is unbelievable. Going back to Paranormal Seekers of Iowa, of course, I was investigating the broiler room, and JD and I had this, our team had an event that night. It was a ghost school, and then an investigation all night long till 7 a.m. in the morning, which we have pre-run of the whole place. Well, I asked JD if we could go in before the event began and go ahead and shoot some footage in the broiler room. We went down there, just JD and I, and he was filming and, you know, EVPing and the whole shebang. And I walked into the broiler room, and before I walked into the doorway, I saw the red eyes. It was peering out through a hallway, and I pushed JD back, and I said, "Oh, my God, wait." And he was like, "What's the matter?" And I said, "It's in there." And he said, "Okay, describe it." And I said, "Okay, it's about 8 foot tall. It is not on the floor. It is floating above the floor, and the red eyes are not huge, but they were big enough that anybody could have seen it." And
did you see that with your mind's eye, or could you see it, you know, like with your eyes when you saw
it? With my mind's eye, I approached it and saw it, and then, this even gets more bizarre. So I go in, and, you know, I have been through so much in my life that nothing, and when I say nothing, I mean nothing, scares me anymore. And especially with my next story, you'll understand it. But so I went ahead and went on in, and JD followed me with the camera. I'm standing there in the middle of this boiler room, and JD's filming me, and I see it, and it's right behind JD, and I tell it to go ahead and make itself known. And at that split second, you could see Kissy pans right onto my arms. My hair is standing completely up on my arms, and my face doesn't look like me. Also, I ask it to do something to me. I said, "Mark me, I don't care, you know, because I want this on film to show to everybody." I said, just use me in whatever way you need to. Just do something. And
you are a brave woman.
You know what? Like I said, I'd bring it. You know, if I'm gonna live through it, that's what I'm supposed to do, for the right reasons, to show the public. Well, so my arms start to elevate on their own. JD tried to push them down, and he couldn't. Then I say, go ahead and mark me USOB. And just at that second, I went forward. My back, my arms are extended. My back became on fire. And I said to JD, I said, oh, my God. I said, I have just received a mark. And just as I say that, I'm burning. And that's also on Paranormal Speakers of Iowa's page, the pictures and the film of my back. And as I looked at JD, he could see that I was starting to tear up, and I said, this really effing hurts. And just as he says that, he pushes me forward out of the room, and you can see that I'm in front of him, and he takes me upstairs into the lighting the whole way with me, turns on the lights in one of the rooms upstairs, and I have a mark on my back from my middle of my rib cage all the way down to my hips, and it's got two claws running straight down my back, and then it kind of hooks up like a back or like a J.
That doesn't sound like a very positive thing. That's what always scares me about paranormal investigations. I've done my fair share. Fortunately, I haven't run into anything like that. But we hear about it frequently, about these investigators that go into these investigations and they have something like that happen, or even have something follow them home. I mean, turns me off to the whole thing.
I don't allow anything to follow me home. Here's what I do. When we are done investigating, the first thing we do is say the St. Michael's Prayer, and we tell whatever is there that is not allowed to follow us home. I take off my shoes, because I'm not bringing that stuff that's on my shoes into my vehicle. There's no way. And I take off my shoes.
Right on.
And it's got that dust and it's got that crap on there, you know, from the, you know, the stuff that you walk in.
What do you do, burn them?
No, I don't burn them. I put them in a wrapping in my vehicle. And then I put my holy water on them, and then I take them home and wash them in holy water, which I have received holy water straight from the Vatican through the Catholic Diocese here in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Cheryl and Jason, we've got Joey Giggles. I don't know who Joey Giggles is, but he's been in the chat room, but he's just called in. He may have a live question.
Sure.
Okay, let's go ahead and do that. And, all right. Hey, Joey Giggles.
Hey, what's going on? How's everybody doing?
Good. You're live on Paranormal Horizons with Cheryl Ann, Pat Rice, and Jason Ophir. What's going on? Do you have a question for Cheryl?
That's awesome. Yeah, no, I'm just enjoying the show. You know, I just pop into these Blog Talk Radio shows, because I have one here on Blog Talk Radio. So I just pop in to listen, and I have to say, really good show, guys. You put on a really good show. Jason, I've spoken to you, you know, a few times, and you know a lot about, you know, how to market and everything, which is great. And I think this show is definitely one of the top ones out there on Blog Talk Radio, so I'm really excited to be here.
Well, Joey, when is your show on?
Yeah, well, I got a Positive Experience channel here on Blog Talk Radio. It's been established for about 3 years now. And we've been on, we have different times for different shows and stuff like that. So we're like a variety channel where people could come and learn about different things, different parts of life and how to be positive and stuff like that. So Positive Experience Channel, guys. Yeah, really exciting stuff. But I do have a question. I did call in with a question. Yes,
right on. Go ahead, Joey.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited about the, you know, the paranormal. I get really excited about this stuff. You know, I actually want to bring more paranormal shows to my channel. You know, that's why I've been talking to Jason a lot. What I would like to ask is, in looking at movies like the Conjuring, you know, and these movies, I was watching it the other night, and I was like, wow. You know, does this have anything to do with exorcism? You know, I mean, because I watched that, and I actually flew out of my seat at certain points in the movie, because I it was hair-raising. It was really hair-raising. You know, but I really enjoyed the movie because it was psychological, you know, and it actually brought you in to the show, which was really cool. My question is, does that movie and other movies like it have, like, somewhat to do with exorcism, you know, like bringing in priests and stuff like that to, you know, exorcise a house or exorcise an individual? You know, what does it really entail? What does it really entail? And is it like what you see in the movies? You know, like an exorcism, like, do the eyes roll behind the head? Do people climb up the walls? You know? I don't know.
Well, you know, Joey, that is a great question. This is Pat Ryson. Thank you. Thank you for calling into the show and bringing that question forward, because, you know, Cheryl and both Jason have had experience doing investigations. I have not. So I'm going to defer that question to them. And if you're willing to take the answer offline, that's great, because, you know, I think movies can be exaggerated because it's Hollywood, let's face it. But I think they might have some input here. So, right on.
Yeah,
thanks for calling.
I can definitely hit on that for you, Joey. The story I'm about to tell you is true to fact. It was filmed, recorded, and the whole spang. So let me just tell you about The Conjuring. The minute that movie came out, I didn't go see it because I already knew what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
But sister and my family went and saw it, and they called me and said, Cheryl, you've got to go see this because you are exactly like Lorraine. And I said, okay. So I went and saw it. And now the story. The story is like this, Joey.
Mm-hmm.
It is true. It is true. I'm going to tell you my experience, and I'll make it brief because I know Jason's got something to put
into this. That's a scary movie, by the way. Everybody,
I was scared.
I flew out of my seat at certain points. Like I said, I mean, I couldn't believe certain things I saw in that movie. I was like, "Well, could this really happen?" I'm like, "Wow, yeah." So
okay. So, Joey, here I go. Are you ready for this one?
I'm ready. I'm ready for anything. Yeah.
All right. A year and a half ago, my niece, which I'm not going to say her name because she's asked me to really not to ever bring her up, not unless I bring her into an actual setting where she is able to speak about it in you know, a realm of people. I love her with all my heart. Her and I are very close, and she happened to be living with a friend at the time, and her friend called me and said, Auntie Cheryl, something isn't right with Jamie. And I said, okay. I said, talk to me. What's going on? And she said, well, for the last 2 weeks, Jamie has been, oh, I just said her name. Still love me anyway. Anyway, Jamie, since I've said it, I might as well say it. Jamie isn't acting her normal self. And I said, well, describe exactly, without drama, what she's doing. And she said, well, she's sitting in her room half the time in dark. She's not eating. She's frail looking, very dark, in like around her eyes. And I said, okay. And I said, okay, so let's get to the bottom of this piece. I said, exactly what is she doing physically? And she said that she walks differently, she speaks differently. In fact, her language was accelerated in the F-bomb. She hadn't bathed in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. She has ignored her children, and she has been just not herself. And I said, well, okay. I said, I tell you what, don't tell her I'm coming. And she goes, why? I said, I don't want it to know. And she said, it. And I said, it. I got my case, which I carry every piece of equipment I need. I got my Bible, and I got everything in my trunk. It was about 7:30 at night, and I walked up to the door. Before I walked up to the door, I got out of my car, and I hung my head, and I said, oh, my God, Jesus. The house, the way I see it, my perception is completely different. The house looked dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked up to the doorway, knocked on the door. Jamie came from nowhere. I could see through the windows. She was right there. And when I opened the door, I expected my niece to say, Auntie Cheryl, hi, what are you doing here, you know? She looked me straight in the eye and said, what the fuck are you doing here? Excuse my French.
Wow.
I don't know if I can say that, but that was the F-bomb. And I looked
bleep,
at her and I said,
bleep.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you guys. What the F are you doing here, right? And I, I'm sorry. And I looked at her again, and I said, you're not my niece. And she got very verbal with her language. And I said, she says, are you planning to come in here? And I said, no, I'm already in here. And I pushed right through the door. And I pretty much backed her away from me, and she immediately turned and went down to the basement, and I followed her. She sat down on the couch, oddly, meaning she sat differently than I would ever see my niece sit. I sat next to her. She turned and looked at me as if she could kill me. And I said, oh, boy, what has got my niece? And at that split second, her eyes rolled to the back of her head. She arched backwards, and her friend looked at me and screamed. I proceeded to grab my niece by the back of her head and pulled her forward nose to nose, and I said, who the heck are you? And she's got blue eyes. Her eyes became very dark, colored. And at that split second, I grabbed my Bible, and I started to pray out loud. She became instantly aggravated. She instantly became mean. I started to pray, and I got out my holy water, and she said, what the F is that? Because it had a cross on the bottle, the white bottle. And she goes, what the F is that? And I looked at her, and I said, I think you know exactly what that is. And I started the recorder. I got my camera going. I handed it to her friend. I said, record everything. I said, no matter what happens tonight, record everything. And so she started to record, and at that second, I turned and looked at my niece, Jamie, and I said, whatever's in you is coming out.
Christ,
it's coming out.
Wow.
And it looked at me and said, H-E-L-L-U. And
mm-hmm.
I said, okay. And I said, okay, let's bring this on. So I grabbed my niece, and I threw her down on the couch. I got on top of my niece, and I did a headlock on her because she became violent. At that time, I was in her face by about 3 inches from her nose, screaming bloody murder. By the power of Christ, I command you to come out of my niece, and I mean now. And that I said repetitively for 30 minutes.
Wow.
Then her eyes rolled back to her head again. Her tongue came out of her mouth about 2 inches longer than it should have. She reared up. She tried to bite my face.
Oh,
and
wow.
At which time I reared back and I said, who the H-E-L-L are you? And I want your name and I want it now. And it reared up again and said, screams bloody murder in my face, the name of Leo. And
wow.
I said, oh, heck no. And I just at that, when that happened, the witnesses that saw this, I felt it. She levitated off that couch 2 inches, and I was on top of her holding her down.
Wow.
That's crazy.
And then I reached for the holy water. I tried to bless her. She thrust it back and forth. And when I finally got it on her, she screamed, and I kept saying, Jamie, who is your Savior? And when she would say, or try to say, Jesus, it came out in a demonic voice. It wasn't normal. And it continued for 3 hours.
Wow.
And I was bawling my eyes out, begging Christ to help my niece. And it took 3 hours for that thing to finally get out of her. And then when that happened, I knew it right away because she looked up at me and said, and she started crying, Auntie Cheryl, what's wrong? Because I looked like a mess. And I turned to the right, and in her washroom, I could see it leaving, and it was gone.
Wow.
You know what, everybody, Cheryl, what an amazing story. You've heard it here on Paranormal Horizons.
That's
and
awesome.
Yeah, so really a true story. Joey, thank you for bringing that question forward about, yeah, we see things in movies that are like all crazy and scary and all of that stuff, but now Cheryl has shared a real story of something that happened with someone that she was close to, her own niece. And
wow.
You know what?
Incredible.
Cheryl, this is going to be like a whole nother session, another episode where, you know, why did that happen to her? And, you know, we're running out of time here. We've only got a few more minutes. But because I think it's important, and Joey, tell me if you agree, it's and Jason, it's important to understand the history of, you know, was this person just in a place where, you know, the demonic came over them, or and Cheryl, I'm not suggesting that your niece had, you know, some bad problems or anything, but was there some depression? Was there something going on? Because, you know, we know, and Jason, we've talked to Archbishop File, the Catholic Church, who heads up the exorcism organization, that sometimes, you know, there's things that happen that bring that negativity. I mean, what do you guys, Cheryl, Joey, what do you guys think about that?
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What I discovered about my niece, to sum it up real quick, is that she had lost faith and she had walked away from her faith, and she used to be a deep Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And that made her weak. Are very weak and susceptible to an attack.
Right, Joey, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I believe, you know, if a person is weak, or if a person, you know, I guess has low self-esteem or low self-reliance, I guess the entity, you know, finds it easier to get into those people.
Right.
Sure.
So I would say that they are a target, I guess, for the entity, per se. But I did have a question in regards to what are the symptoms of a person that has a demon in them? How could you tell from the onset of, like, somebody having a demon in them to the end where you say, oh, everything is relaxed and, and you knew the demon was out of her. What are the symptoms, per se?
Good question. Cheryl, do you have comments on that?
Yes. Be very watchful for someone's behavioral patterns that are normally typical to completely flip.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if they start dabbling in, you know, the dark side, in reading books, playing with Ouija boards, which I do not recommend. If you don't know what you're doing, you're opening doors that you don't know how to close. And watch for things to start changing in their environment, the structure of a home, the whole structure, all dynamic, changing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So then you realize, I guess, more towards the end, you know, after you do your ritual, that per se that, you know, the demon has left the building, correct? And what are the symptoms of the demon leaving the building?
Leaving?
Yeah.
Well, for one, the basement, my experience, became a whole lot less heavy feeling. It became a lot brighter. It felt more cheery. It felt normalcy. My niece was able to talk to me clearly, and she was hungry. She was like, what the heck, you know, what's going on with me? She had absolutely no clue. But people feel that difference in the atmosphere.
That's terrifying. I've walked into feelings like that. I know what that energy feels like. It's like, it's hard to describe. It's like walking into this, the air is thick, it's uncomfortable. Yeah, I don't like that. But I know that we are really seriously running out of time here, so I want to thank Joy for calling in. We've got to wrap up the show. But hey, Joy, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, my pleasure, and look forward to listening to some more shows here.
Hey, right, Joey, thank you. Yeah.
We'll talk later, Joey, tonight.
Okay, sounds good. Take care, everybody.
All right.
Right on. And, you know, Cheryl, thank you for sharing that very personal story about your niece. And because, you know, and this whole conversation that came up about the demonic and all of that, it's nothing to mess around with. And you've mentioned that. And
there's a point where you wanted to know more about her history and her story. That's a whole nother episode that I'd love to continue.
Yeah, right, and we'll have another episode on that. And because Jason and I have talked with we really totally respect Archbishop File, who's with the Catholic Church, and you know, the Catholic Church does not take exorcisms lightly, but they believe in them. You know, they believe in good and evil, and the way that you described it was so right on. And I hope to hear, you know, more about that in the future. Jason, what do you think? You know,
yeah.
It's like a whole nother, like, two episodes or three episodes where we can talk about that, because it's very real.
Well, you know, when it comes to the whole demon thing, I'm self-admittingly a skeptic. But when we talk to people like Archbishop Fail and Cheryl's story, it kind of makes me wonder if maybe my opinion on the matter is wrong. I mean, this is, you know, people, when I start hearing these stories from people that I respect, you know, and that I know are reasonable people, it makes me wonder if, you know, maybe this is something I need to start believing in.
Well, Jason, my comment to you on that would be, it's not so much skepticism as it is fear.
Like,
fear
not
of the unknown. Fear.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid of my own shadow, so, you know, I'm afraid.
No, you're not.
You're afraid of that cat jumping out in front of you. I just know it.
I'm constantly on edge. I'm afraid of everything. But, you know, part of my theory behind that is if it's out there, and if I think that if I'm thinking about it, that I'm giving it energy, and I don't want to give it power. So I'm consciously not trying to think of it, whether it's true or not. So,
right. And you know what? That's good advice to yourself. Don't dwell on it. Dwell on Christ.
Hey, Cheryl Ann, before we sign off here on Paranormal Horizons, how can people get in touch with you if they want to do a private reading with you? What's the best way? We didn't give you an opportunity to give a shout-out for that, because I know, again, you know, you're such a wonderful person to talk with. You're so down-to-earth. You've had all these personal experiences. You know, you can relate to people, and I know that personally, because you and I have talked kind of, you know, on this side. And so tell everybody how they can get in touch with you.
Well, the very best way is by my telephone, obviously, and that number is area code 402-217-6334, or they can reach me at Cheryl, all lowercase, at extraordinaryconnectionswithcherylann.com.
Okay.
Or they can Facebook me, Cheryl Ann Elliott, and that's with ELLIOTT, then Fletcher, and that's F-L-E-T-C-H-E-R.
Okay. And we'll put that on our Facebook page as well, Cheryl, because we want to,
okay,
you know, make sure that people know how to get in touch with you, especially we started the conversation this evening about you, you know, one of your specialties, if you will, is talking with the other side. You know, if you've had a loved one that has passed on,
yep,
to the other side,
yep,
that you want to, you know, just, I don't know, you know, maybe understand where they are or maybe just get a message. I think, Cheryl, you have a wonderful feeling for that. You've had some personal losses in your life and you're very sensitive to that. And
yeah,
I just want to encourage everyone to contact you for that, for, you know, a very reasonable, you know, you always, you know, you can talk with them about what it costs and so forth. And again, we will post that contact information on Paranormal's Facebook page, how to get in touch with our very special guest this evening, Cheryl Ann.
Thank you for having me. I certainly appreciate you guys a lot, and much love to you all.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you,
Cheryl, for coming on. It's your stories are absolutely incredible, and we're going to have to get you on in the future to kind of talk a little bit more about this exorcism thing. I'm fascinated about it.
Yeah. That's
okay,
a whole nother show.
Yeah.
All right, Cheryl, have a great evening.
You as well, and thanks again for having me on.
Okay,
good night.
Night.
All right, Jason. So, gosh, what a great show. And I so appreciate Joey calling in and, you know, having some questions and things like that. So, Cheryl Ann, and again, everyone, we will post on our Facebook page how to get in touch with her. And don't forget, you can listen to this show on KITCFM.com on Saturdays at 10 p.m. Pacific time. Jason, who is our guest next week? Do we have anybody lined up? That's kind of your area, your forte,
well,
if you will.
I have to be honest. I'm not a liar. I have been completely sidetracked. So
I haven't
worked
college
on it yet.
My gosh.
Yeah, I don't even want to get into that nightmare because it's absolutely a horrifying experience. But for 41-year-old, yeah, it's terrible. But I haven't actually worked on a schedule yet. It's on my to-do. But, you know, on the way home, when I was driving home from school, of all places, I was thinking that, you know, maybe it's time to do another paranormal roundtable.
I agree. Yeah, and I've got some folks that I've been meaning to contact. I've got Ellen Isola out of Colorado, who's a numerologist and a psychic. And she was just had a busy summer, but she's an upcoming guest. We're probably going to have maybe a dark week, Jason, because I'm going to be moving. I'm relocating from, you know, Central Oregon over there. So we might do a repeat show during a week, but, you know, that's okay. We've got lots of footage, if you will. I don't know if footage is the right word in the radio world, but tapes. So, yeah, you know, and it's summer and people are out there trying to have a good time and enjoying that nice hot weather. So lots of exciting things, though, coming up here on Paranormal Horizons.
Yeah, and I did also want to mention before we get off. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Now, we were sent a package of books from Mord, right?
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for reminding me. And we haven't done any giveaways.
I know. Now, was it a 5-pack of books?
Well, no, it's more like about 12 books, and it's The Hauntings of San Francisco, and I did, you know, and he's going to be a future guest on our show as well. We love to have authors, and we've had lots of book authors on our show. And he's going to be a future guest, and he was so gracious to send us these books. And, you know, my apologies for just being a little discombobulated because I'm moving. And I actually, Mord, you're going to appreciate this. I have your box of books, like, They're not taped up or anything, but they're like sitting on my counter because I meant to talk to you about that, Jason. What are we going to do as a giveaway? You know, how are we going to give away these wonderful books?
I think, you know, we only started doing chat like recently, so it hasn't, we switched from the Zap website into trying with the Blog Talk, and the Blog Talk chat's kind of working, but it's really not, it hasn't really caught on. And I know this because I can see after the show how many live listeners there was. And
we get
quite a few live listeners, but yet we're not getting a lot of activity in chat. Normally I'd like to give away the books to people in chat. So we're going to have to come up with some sort of method to do that.
And it's a great book. I've just started reading it. I lived in San Francisco for many years. So, yeah, we will. And we want to, you know, everybody, you know, Friends of Paranormal Horizons, if you have books and you'd like us to, you know, offer them as giveaways, we're going to get better at this. And as we grow, like you said earlier in the show, Jason, this is our 40th episode, which sounds like a lot. But really, yep. It's not when you think about how many weeks there are in the year. But we so enjoy talking with people like Cheryl Ann and all the wonderful guests that we have had here on Paranormal Horizons.
Absolutely. And we'll see everybody next week. And more than likely, we'll have a paranormal roundtable discussion. And
right on.
Maybe we can have some caller in. I think, you know, we've gone so far over the allotted time. I think that I will just not play the extra, and I think we'll be good.
Right. Maybe Joey will call in next week for our roundtable. All right, everybody. Good night. Take care of each other, and take care
of
your four-legged critters. Good night.
Good night.